Turn with me then back to the second book of Kings. I hadn't originally planned to finish this today, but felt like that was the direction that I ought to go. So for some of you that were looking for a little light green piece of paper back in the back when you came in that wasn't there, may have dawned on you. Uh-oh, he's going to continue meddling. And as I was sitting up here looking out across the congregation, there's a small handful of people that weren't here this morning. So I guess that means I'm going to have to start at the beginning. Amongst the laughter, I heard something more than that. So I guess maybe I need to start back here. Let's just bow our head and ask the Lord to help us. I need His help, and sometimes I don't always stop for prayer, but I need His extra touch tonight. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming and being with us in this service this evening. Thank You for the songs that we've been privileged to sing and to feel the words of them and recognize the reality of them, especially of Your grace. And that it is ours. When we reach out to You, You reach out to us. And of Your faithfulness to us, Jesus led us all the way, step by step. Pray, Lord, that You would give us once again tonight in this service that help that we need. Give me that anointing that I need as speaker. Give us that anointing that we need as listeners, as hearers. Father, give of Your anointing, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Josiah was 8 years old when he took the reign of the kingdom of Israel. He was 26 years old when he began to restore and clean up the temple, the house of God. And in that process, you'll remember, those of you that were here, they found the book of the law that had been misplaced, lost, covered up. However, it was done in reality. They had lost it. And with the loss of the Word of God, it was evident that principles that were forgotten and ignored, and things were changed, things were different. But as that book was found, even though, as I mentioned this morning, that Josiah surely was a good man, he was wanting to follow the Lord, but when he found the book, or when the book was found that was brought to him and read, he fell in humility before the Lord, as it were. He rent his clothes. And so we find that as the book is found, its recovery leads to repentance. And that repentance isn't so much of a for a different time or for a different place or for a different people, but it was for them as well as for us. The book, the Word of God. Once again, just to reiterate, it wasn't that Josiah was a bad man, but when he found and recognized the whole truth, and he saw within the confines of the law of God, the holiness of God, it made him recognize in a more clear picture, or the vividness of sin. Or as we mentioned last Sunday night, the sinfulness of sin. We may think that sometimes it's difficult or nearly impossible to lose the Word of God, but in reality it is possible for you and I even to lose the Word of God just like they did right in the sanctuary. To where we hear and we know and we see, but we lose its principles, we lose its effect. It's not really carrying with us what it ought to carry. But Josiah recognized that there were some serious things somewhere in that law that brought him to his knees. And as we find then that its recovery led to repentance, the next thing that I notice in that story or in this chapter is that repentance leads to revival. Leads to revival. You look at verse 12 there of 2 Kings chapter 22. And we're picking up here where we pretty much left off this morning. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan. Now you'll notice in previous verses that Shaphan is a scribe. These are very key people that he's mentioning here. And Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah a servant of the king. Now again, I don't know all the details of these men, and it's not really important tonight, so I'm not going into that. But the next statement that he makes in verse 13 is important. And he's asking these men, "Go ye and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found." So what is so significant there? Repentance leads to revival. What I see in that statement is that Josiah was asking God a very strange request. He was seeking for more light. Have you ever known anybody to do that? "Lord, I want some new light. I want some more light." But that's what Josiah was doing. "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, for all of Judah concerning the words of this book. Allow it to be said, Lord, that the Lord has the upper hand in our lives, that we are doing all that God wants us to do. And if there's not something, or if there's something that we're not doing, that Lord, show me." It's a little bit like what David said. "Search me, O God. Try me. See if there's anything there. Help me to walk in your paths." I see that in the life of Josiah. "Go ye and inquire of the Lord." Quite often, perhaps the experience would be not so much of inquiring of the Lord what He would have me to do more, but what I can get out of. Or we might even say within our heart, though we wouldn't maybe not vocalize it so much out in public, but in our heart we would say, "I'm going to keep doing this until He hits me over the head with a two-by-four or a ball bat." I've known people like that. Perhaps if I looked in the mirror, I'd see someone that's done that. You know, just a little hesitant to follow God in certain areas, just a little hesitant to really step across that line and be radical for God. You know, we don't want to use that word, do we? Because that's outlandish. That's radical. But you know, really following God is a radical move. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." That's radical move. That is a radical change. "If you be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new." You see, that's radical. But a lot of times we think of radicalism as something way off the far end of a never-never land, and it's a deep end of something, and we don't want to go there. But really, serving God is a radical move. "Inquire of the Lord. What more do you want me to do? Not less." Now there's a key element that I find in the life of Josiah that ought to be found in our lives as well. Verse number 19. You see, they've gone and they've inquired. They've sought after God. They've been seeking God. God comes back and He talks to them. "I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants," in verse 16. even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods. You know, all this stuff he was talking back to them. This is the reason why you've had problems, because you've forsaken God. But look at verse 19. He's talking now to the king, to Josiah. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. I've said it in my own mind so many times. Probably I have to say it to myself so many times because I need it. But things come in our lives, we have the opportunity or the option, we have the choice of allowing them to make us bitter or better. And when we allow things to make us better, in essence, we could say, in reality, we could say that in making us better, it is keeping us on our knees in humility before God. There's not a better place to be than that, really. I've been in conversation this week with someone who has been through a little bit of a difficulty and stressed out, and things weren't going the way that they had anticipated and hoped for. And I just kept reiterating to that person, don't let it get you down, except down before God. Don't let it get you to the point where you're throwing up your hands or throwing in the towel. Don't allow it to make you bitter, but allow it to make you better. Stay steady, keep strong, and keep on your face before God. Josiah found that. Because thine heart was tender, and you have humbled yourself. Then we find that God always comes through. Repentance leads to revival, and revival makes possible a reprieve. You say, what do you mean by that? It makes possible a reprieve from the attack of Satan, the onward move of sin. It changes the direction that people are going when revival comes. When revival comes, God's grace and God's mercy is experienced. When revival comes in the heart, it brings about some action. We'll find that in the life of Josiah here, in the land of Israel, that there came some action following this incident. The book was restored, and it brought about a repentant heart, and repentance brought about some changes, a revival of God's Word, a revival of God's presence, and a desire, a revival of the desire of God's will, and a smile of approval. And the revival brought about a reprieve of the attack of the enemy. God promised that from the very beginning in the lives of Israel. You follow me and you will be blessed. I believe that goes for us tonight. That doesn't mean that in God's blessing that we will never have problems. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. But I believe that as we walk with God, we will find true blessing. But just as we find here in this passage, we're also going to find it in our own lives when revival comes and we seek for that reprieve that is followed by revival, there's going to be some kind of a religious purge. You say, what in the world are you talking about? If you have the same Bible I do, you need to flip the page to chapter 23. Chapter 23, beginning with verse number 4, going down through verse 14, we find that Josiah not only has the people that are cleaning the temple, but now he cleans house in the land of Israel. You read that and you'll find that Israel truly had fallen into the pits of sin. Heathenism. Plain and simple heathenism. And he purged it. He cleaned house. He took out the Baal worship. He cleaned out all of the impure. All of the perverted. You find it in verse 7. I don't know. I can't fathom how this could have taken place in the land of Israel. And he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. It's not real clear there, but it's pretty evident in studying that what was taking place was a lot of wickedness involved with worship. Was that taking place there? It sure appears to be. Their worship had been so contaminated that they were going into the areas that were completely abominable to God. He cleaned it out. He purged the floor. He was dealing with the impure, the perverted. He was cleaning up the high places and the groves. He cleaned out the low places. He took care of the wizards and the sorcerers. He restored the altar at Bethel. He was restoring the worship of the one true God. The bottom line is that he was simply cleaning house. He was doing his very best to align himself and his people with the book of the law that had been found. Now, just for the sake of argument tonight, he possibly could have been able to make it to heaven without doing all these extra things, because some of these extra things didn't necessarily apply to him. He could have served God without going that extra mile. But he wanted to do everything that he could to establish the worship of God in his home, in his community, and in his country, in his land. You know, we may feel sometimes that we don't have much of a voice in certain things, but that doesn't mean that we are to shut our voice up, that we are to become mute on certain subjects. It's not that we are to close our mouth just because we feel that we don't have a voice. We need to vocalize and stand against the sins of our day when it's possible. I know sometimes that's not an easy task to do. It's not an easy thing to accomplish. Sometimes it may be embarrassing. Sometimes it may be difficult. You may get red in the face. Not from anger, but from fear. But there are times that we need to stand up. You know, one of the things that grates on me when I'm out in public is when I hear somebody take God's name or Christ's name in vain. Standing in a checkout line and somebody doesn't have the right change, or their card doesn't work, or they've forgotten their debit card PIN number, whatever. They blame it on Christ. Ma'am, Christ didn't have anything to do with that. Sir, what does God have to do with that? Oh, I tell you what, you can just see the steam roll out of their ears. That anybody would think to rebuke them on taking God's name in vain. I don't know all that took place here in this particular section, but it's very evident that Josiah was wanting to do everything that he could. He wasn't arguing against it because of fleshly pride. He was wanting just to follow God. He wasn't allowing the dictates of fashion of his day to change his mind, but he simply wanted to follow God. He wasn't making an attempt to justify things, even some gray areas. He simply wanted to follow God. He simply wanted to be pleasing to God. He wanted for God to have full reign in his heart and in his life. He said, go and inquire of the Lord what it is. You see, his heart was totally surrendered or sold out to the voice of God, no matter what it was. He cleaned house. Chapter 23, verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images, the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Can I just be honest here for a second? Personally honest. You know, I'm trying to be honest anyway with God's word, but personally honest, I don't like that word spied. All the abominations that were spied. It kind of indicates to me that he had some henchmen out there looking for some evil. Don't think that I'm in wrong here by saying I don't like that word spied, because you don't either. You don't want somebody out there, some henchmen of the preacher out there looking to see where you've messed up. You know, we've got our barriers there. We've got our walls there. Don't criticize what I'm doing. But Josiah had his people out there looking. Let me see in that back room. Do you have an image back there? Do you have an idol back there? Do you have something that is impure back there? Do you have something going on that is wrong back there? Do you have something taking place in your home, in your secret place that God is not pleased with? In the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, those things that were spied, Josiah put away. Familiar spirits, workers with spirits, wizards, images, idols, all the abominations. You see, we don't want that happening. But that's what Josiah did. And the result was God's blessing. The reason for it was the restoration of God's word. Look then at verse 25. He cleaned house in verse 24, verse 25, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. That's a powerful statement about Josiah. One thing we'll notice here in this passage, probably without going very far, in a discussion, in a group discussion, what we'll find here is that Josiah was full of works. Do you see that? He was full of works. He did a lot of things. He did a lot of things. But we're in the day of grace, aren't we? We don't have to rely on works. We don't have to do all of the works things. James said in chapter 2, verse 14, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. See, Josiah was full of works. If works were going to save somebody, according to the Scripture and according to the commentary of God, Josiah was saved because he did all of these works. What are works? What are works in our generation or in our day? What does it mean? Works. Well, I suppose we could include helping the poor and the needy. Helping the destitute. Feeding the hungry. Clothing the unclothed. Giving a drink of water in Christ's name to the thirsty. Those are works, right? And there's not a single one of us here tonight that would suggest that those things in and of themselves are going to save any one of us. Works could include of any sort the love that we would have for other people around us. But in the life of Josiah, the works that he was doing wasn't so much as of helping the needs of people around him. He was cleaning house. He was showing a work-filled life that would somehow be pleasing to God because of the works that he was doing. Josiah, first of all, in the very beginning of the chapter, had faith. He believed in God. And then we find, as the book was restored, that his faith became an active faith, and he began to live it through his works. I believe that's what James is saying for you and I to do. Show me your faith by your works. Show your faith by the works that you do. What kind of works can we do? The same kind of works that Josiah did. And that is simply obedience to God's word. Again, does it mean that Josiah was guaranteed a place in heaven because he did all of this? No. What guaranteed him a place in heaven was his love for God and his desire to be obedient, and that expressed itself through the works of his life. I don't do what I do. You don't do what you do tonight because you want to make it to heaven. You do things tonight because you want to please God. And your desire to please God comes from a faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to make you a new creature. That is what makes you ready for heaven. But obedience to His Word shows itself out in works through your faith. See, we need to have a revival of God's Word. We need to bring back the book. We need to have a restoration of God's Word in our heart, in our lives. When the book is recovered, when we have it back in its place, it brings us to repentance. Repentance brings revival. Revival brings a purge. And that purging really is in accordance to God's Word in the expression of our faith in works, where we obey Him and we align ourselves with Him. Josiah wanted that alignment. And the desire that he had of that alignment brought those words from the lips of God that I've already shared. There was not a king before him, and there was not a king after him that turned entirely to God the way that Josiah did. And yet we find that David was called man after God's own heart. But Josiah so wholly turned to God that there wasn't one before or after. You know, I'd like for God to say that about me. I'd like for Him to say that about me. That I've turned my heart solely after God. I'd like to see revival come. We can pray and we can pray and we can pray, but Psalmist said that if we regard iniquity in our heart, God won't hear us. You say, well, what are you talking about then? It's going to simply be just like Josiah. It's going to take the same recipe in the life of Josiah, that we humble ourselves before God. We spiritually rend our clothes in humility before God and bear our heart to Him. Search me. Inquire of the Lord what more He would have for me to do or to say or to be or to change, how to live. Say, Lord, fill in my blanks. Fill in the emptiness of the page of my life. I believe that God wants people like Josiah. Let's stand together this evening.